Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.
On this episode of Negative Modifier, we'll be playing the game Delta Green. Delta Green is a mature tabletop RPG that tackles various dark and unsettling themes and topics that some listeners may find traumatizing, harmful, or generally uncomfortable. Listener discretion is advised. Jumping to Agent Sanguine and Deputy Filigree, you are standing in a dorm room. There are not one, not two, but four dead bodies in there with you. One of them shot at point blank range. One of them shot executioner style. One with a trophy shoved through their heart. There's also a fire alarm going off that you caused, and to remind you, you are also still surrounded by the decorations of a Valentine's Day party. It's not a good look. Also, I guess it's worth mentioning, Deputy Filigree, you just watched Agent Sanguine, a man that you have known for less than a day, shoot someone tied to a bed, execution style. You also did see one of the dead girls in the room put a weird snake slug tentacle monster in the man that got shot. So maybe it was indeed a mercy killing, but like, still.
So I am obviously trying to get recovered here because I'm guessing I'm still literally on the ground when I took all these shots and everything.
Yeah.
And I watched all this happen. So
yeah,
I trying to get the body off me and I'm looking over at Sanguine and I go, what the fuck is all this?
This is called preventative prophylaxis. This is how you stop a pandemic of whatever the fuck creatures are busting out of these goddamn bodies and wreaking havoc.
But this kid, like, he didn't look like the others.
Yet. Look, I've been trying my goddamn best to save every single fucking one of these things, but in triage, which is the first thing they teach you in medical school, you have to look at a situation and say, is this life salvageable? And unfortunately, we were too late. Now here, and I grab a bottle out of my jacket and I grab a handful of pills and I kind of toss them or I kind of scatter them next to the bed on like the little bedside table. And then I toss the bottle over to Filigree, use the butt of the gun to crush up some of them and just kind of wipe it around the nose of whoever's close to you. We need to stage this.
Stage what? How are we going to stage this other thing? Look at these creatures over here. What are we staging?
We stage the people and we take away the creatures. What I handed you was a bottle of barbiturates. Make it look convincing. I said, you were in something that is way over your head. You've seen enough. We'll explain what we know when we are safe. But right now, we have a fire alarm. I don't know how quick first response is going to be happening or when this is going to be all over, but we have an alibi. Fire alarm was pulled. These kids got in some weird shit. Something ended up being super crazy. And they ended up in some sort of suicide sex pact. We can move some bodies over, make it look real good, and we do not have to worry about what comes after.
At this point, I'm obviously looking distressed because not only did I witness all this, but now I'm helping with a cover-up. So I look over at Sanguine and I go, fine, but I, please make it all make sense. This is fucking insane. And I just start like crushing up some of the barbiturates nearby with like the butt of my gun.
Sure. So to remind you, the, let's call them tentacle things, they're still inside the bodies, at least partially.
Well, that works out for Sanguine, because I don't know how these things work.
Oh, okay. So the one I just executed just had one kind of go down into the body.
Yep.
Everything else. Oh, shit. The two girls.
One of the girls got shot kind of like through the neck jaw area. So that one's probably handled, you can guess at. The other two, who knows?
Ah, shit. Filigree, hold up. I just realized something. Ugh, fuck my life. Okay. So the little primates with the leech tails, that is kind of the near final evolutionary stage. I don't know if you saw, but there was something that crawled down this kid's neck. Think of that as the larval stage. It gestates and then busts out of the body like some terrible sci-fi movie. How long that takes, I'm not 100% certain, but we may or may not have some water balloons ready to go.
So what do we, there's a fucking thing growing inside these things? I thought they were dead.
The bodies are dead, but the parasite might still be alive.
So what are we doing? Like, what?
Stop.
I'm not touching that fucking thing. This is completely fucking insane. I don't even know what I'm fucking dealing with here.
Well, first and foremost, we need to stop. Shit. Are there any candles around?
Oh, yeah. It's a Valentine's Day party in college. There's absolutely candles.
All right. Cool. I open the door of the dorm room.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody like out in the hallway still or anything else like that?
I mean, after a couple gunshots, probably not anymore.
All right, cool. I think I'm going to pile the bodies onto the bed.
All right.
And set the bed on fire.
All right.
And then see if we can calmly walk away from the scene.
Sure.
And ideally an exit that's not, what's it called?
The main one?
The main one, yeah.
Yeah. Filigree knows where one is. That's how he came in the building.
Phenomenal.
All right, so are you putting any accelerant on the bodies or just kind of relying on cheap sheets, shitty mattress, and good old-fashioned flammability to take over?
I don't know if there's really any other kind of accelerant. I'm going to imagine there's some
college
sort of
party, alcohol.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I was thinking body spray.
Also probably.
Cool. I'm throwing in some body spray. I'm throwing on some alcohol. If people find bones, if people find anything, they're going to see barbiturates. The bodies are going to be cooked. I don't think they're going to be able to get a good toxicology report. So that covers that.
Sure.
And if Filigree is capable of helping as well, that'll be tight. But I completely understand if he's not, because I just did some stuff that is going to need a couple hours to explain.
No, so with that in mind, anyone kind of involved in the cover-up, give me a search. Kind of see what you can scrounge up.
All right.
That is a 93% failure. I'm searching, but I don't think I have, I'm not really paying attention because I just killed some co-eds. I'm just doing some weird shit where like it just makes sense because I just need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So I might just be throwing shit around.
And you may even grab the wrong alcohol. You try pouring beer on it, which isn't quite as flammable.
As I'm pouring beer on some shit, I realize what I'm doing and I just fucking throw it out the window, just yelling.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I rolled a 45 out of 60 success.
You find the good stuff. You find some primo bottom shelf vodka.
Let's go.
In the plastic bottle with the plastic twist off top.
All right. So I grab a, you know, whatever ones of those I can find, and yeah. I walk over and I go, use this. And this cheap shit is so much better. And I set it up basically to light the bodies on fire. So I douse it up in vodka, yep. And then I find whatever thing I can set to start a fire with. And we have a lighter, actually. Do we ever establish that we have a lighter or anything like that?
We probably have a lighter. That's normal kind of a thing.
It is a college party. Yeah, there are lighters around. Okay. Then, yeah, I'll find a lighter and set that bitch on fire.
Yeah, so the fire spreads pretty quickly. The copious alcohol, the cheap sheets, the hairspray you tried throwing on it, like, it's all flammable enough that it gets going pretty good and it starts to spread about the room. The paper and plastic and polyester Valentine's Day decorations are also helping. It's also helping it get outside the room pretty quickly, too. This place is going to go up relatively quick, would be your guess.
Let's get out of here.
I look over, obviously, like, I'm a little stunned, obviously, watching these bodies burn. I'm like, fuck out of here. I kind of clean myself up a bit in the term to, like, physically, like, adjust myself. But obviously, it's more of a mental adjustment, just trying to, like, manifest itself in that way. And then I walk out the door.
Which way did you take? I went through the main staircase. I want to get out of here.
I went through this other back way, so it doesn't matter. Whatever, get us out of here faster at this point. Let's just find the stairs and take them. It's not like really going to run into any interference at this point.
All right, give me athletics. See how quickly you managed to make it out of here.
That is a 42% failure.
73 out of 43 failure.
All right, so you two make it about a third of the way down the stairs when the dorm's fire suppression system goes off.
Upon seeing the suppression system go off, I look over at Sanguine and I go, "You think they had enough time to burn?"
God damn it. I don't know. Fuck me. We're going to have to go back up and check.
I know we do. I look down and I'm like, I know we do. And I like sheepishly, like almost just like, ugh. Yeah, I guess if that was a physical display, turn around and start walking back up the stairs.
Yeah. So you are soaked in foul smelling, stale water. The ground, once you hit carpet again, is sloshy. Now covered and partially kind of dissolved and lumped together Valentine's Day decorations. Every step you take makes an uncomfortable kind of squishing sound. Give me a search.
Oh boy.
That is a 98% failure.
80 out of 60% failure.
You arrive at the dorm room and you realize that the bodies are pretty cooked, but not all the way. They're mostly just wet and gross at this point. Everything's wet and gross at this point, though, too.
Seeing this, Sanguine kind of near snaps. He's had to deal with coworker dying. He's had to deal with being alone and try to figure out a way to get this over with. He just wants to go home. It's fucking freezing. He's now wet. You see him just kind of start increasing like his breathing and just he's pissed beyond any and all belief. And he pulls out his gun and unloads the rest of his clip just kind of into the bodies, into the stomachs, into the necks, just where he has seen the creatures kind of erupt from the corpses. Once the gun starts kind of making the clicking sound and whatnot, I think at that point in time, he kind of transitions from just kind of screaming into near crying.
Neck or chest area?
I think chest area, more than likely.
All right.
If he can hit them in the neck, cool, but he's not a great shot.
You're under no stress. You can just point blank if you wanted to. I guess, like, do you want to shoot them in the neck or do you want to shoot them in the chest?
I shoot the kid who I know, like, I executed and stuff like that in the neck, because I would imagine that that would just be kind of still in the neck. But the rest of the bodies, I would shoot in the chest because that's where I would think the creatures are gestating at.
Sure. Makes sense. I will say in the case of Chad Bergman, you do get a satisfying kind of like splat of orange as your bullet passes the room.
Cool, cool, cool.
Deputy Filigree, give me a sand check from this.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
46 out of 56 success. Yeah.
You take no sand damage, but you were watching this strange man just unload on corpses. It's truly unhinged looking.
I can't help but just kind of stand back and stare with this just blank look of terror on my face that we've already shot these bodies, burned them, and now we're shooting them yet again. And it's just like very surreal in a way. And it's almost just like, there's a certain level of like helplessness, I want to say, that I feel right now, because it's like, I've been accessory to all this and I couldn't get out of it. So I'm like, absolutely conflicted, but having seen what's going on and what these things are, obviously I know it's like, it's for him, it's the actual manifestation of necessary evil at this point. And it just feels still very much sickening.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. Both of you give me an alertness.
81 out of 40, failure.
97 out of 26, failure.
You don't notice it until you start seeing the flashing red lights, but the fire department has arrived. They are storming the dorm.
Okay. Do I hear like I can see the lights from the window or like a...
Yeah. You don't notice till they're there though.
Okay. I look over and say, I go, shit, the fire department's here. We gotta go. And I start bolting towards the door.
Sanguine kind of takes a minute to click, but he gets up a little shambly and he just kind of stumbles to try to catch up to Filigree.
Give me athletics.
That is a 78% failure on athletics.
46 out of 43 failure.
Yeah, you're wet. It's cold. It's been a very shitty evening. You get about 2/3 of the way down the stairs and you hear someone from the top of the stairwell yell, "Wait, stop!" What do?
I keep running and ignore it.
FEMA. We're with FEMA. We heard that there was a situation. We were trying to get these kids to stop the party, get to the resource center. But I don't know what the fuck happened, but something's up there, man.
So a flashlight from kind of up the stairs shines down at you, and you kind of maybe make out the kind of shape of a person, large build in a fireman's uniform, and kind of try to lay out down at you. Did you say FEMA?
Yeah, we're with the FEMA Oversight Committee. We heard that there was a party going on, and we were trying to just get these kids out of a dangerous situation, especially with the storm. We heard the fire alarm. The fire suppressant went off.
FEMA, like the disaster people?
Yes. Yes. We're with the National Guard. We saw all these lights, and I couldn't not stop. Look, I'm going to head downstairs. You're going to need the coroner, and you're going to need some people with some real strong stomachs, because I don't know what the fuck happened, but this party was going way too hard.
Give me a persuade.
That is an 87% failure.
Fireman kind of like pauses for a second or two and goes, "Wait, you've been upstairs already?"
Yes. We were here earlier. The fire alarm went out. We were just trying to make sure that these kids were able to get out safely. And then the fire suppressant happened.
Give me another persuade.
That is a 2% success.
All right. So the fireman kind of like pauses for a second. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Full crews out front. Go check in with them. We'll probably have some questions for you or something. We'll take it from here. Yeah. Just try and stay out of the way. You can't be dealing with people dumb enough to run it towards a fire that aren't us.
Look, we deal with disasters. This, I can't help but like make sure that the youth are fine, despite the fact that they're fucking idiots. I'll get paperwork for you. We'll coordinate, but we'll have to figure some stuff out with the local staff.
Sir, you sound like you're going into shock of some kind.
I'm fucking cold.
Please go out front. The rest of my team will be able to help.
Cool. Great. Awesome. As I kind of go down and past, I try to pull out my phone and I see if I have any signal, because I want to coordinate with a Star, ideally.
Hey, you got signal.
Awesome. I shoot over a text message, college handled meetup ?
How do you respond, Star?
Whereabouts am I in timeline at this point?
You are sitting in a dark, powerless house with your prisoner when your phone just kind of does the new text message chime.
I'll look at it. I will text them the locker number at the high school. It'll say disposal and locker number. And then I will also give the address of the house I'm at and say possible vector.
All right. Yeah, that goes through. What do you do at that point?
I'm going to try to meet up with Filigree. And when I do catch up with him, I want to tell him Star's got another possible situation on hand. I needed to go take care of a disposal. We might need to do a pass off where I split off this time.
So upon hearing this, I'm just like, just more.
There might be one more, but you're going to be with Star. You're in good hands.
Fine. Whatever.
And I give Filigree the address. Look, after this, I will need to burn my cover. So I can no longer be acting as a FEMA oversight agent. So if we can get out of here as covertly as possible.
I mean, yeah. I think I can, yeah.
Be prepared. You're going to get the answers that I owe you.
Okay. I look at the address. Do I recognize the address at all or no?
I mean, you kind of know it roughly, probably.
Okay. Roughly how far is this address from where I'm currently located with Sanguine?
Yeah, 15, 20 minute drive, give or take, normally. So probably a little bit longer in the snow.
Okay. So I, you know, after looking at the address, I look at Sanguine, I go, not too far off. Obviously, it'll take a little bit longer due to the weather and all that, but we can be there in about 30 or so, maybe more. Not too much more, though.
All right. I'll update Star. And I text him just kind of our ETA, as well as don't ask. We're wet. Do you have a change of clothes available?
Star responds, maybe.
Phenomenal. As we're approaching the car, I start disrobing just kind of my top layers. Anything that's like absolutely fucking soaked, I'm going to just kind of toss on the ground, making sure I kind of grab everything that's out of the pockets and kind of carried out of the coat pockets and just try to shove as much as I can in like my pockets.
Mm.
I'm going to get into Filigree's car wet because I'm going to start tossing my clothes en route. So that way it's not just like, why the fuck are there the clothes of this person that we just saw and was going to say that we were going to meet up and make connections or whatever the fuck lying on the ground here.
I won't say makes sense, but makes a certain amount of sense. I'm assuming you now drive to meet Star.
Yeah.
It's slow going, but you managed to get there. The nice thing about going from a major location to another major-ish or kind of the proximity around another major location is the roads are relatively clear, at least on this route. So yeah, you arrive. What do you do?
So once we arrive, I look over and say when I go, we're here. Are you looking for your friend? What are we doing?
This is where Star's going to be. I need a change of clothes. I can't be walking around completely sopping wet. You are going to assist him in whatever he needs. Otherwise, I need to do one last job and then I will meet back here. Nonetheless, obviously, you can tell by now, we don't work for FEMA. We work for a different government organization. Very off the books. Star can update a little bit more about that with you on how exactly we work, or at least on what you need to know for the time being. You're going to be contacted by them. Don't ask how, don't ask why. You're going to get the download, and I hope I never see you again.
So I'm going to call him, I guess, Star. Is that what you called him? What am I calling you?
I'm Sanguine.
I'm going to guess those are code names because there's no way in hell your real name is Sanguine.
I am Sanguine. That's it. For my protection, for your protection. I am Sanguine.
Whatever. You know where you're headed?
Not exactly, but we'll figure it out. It's just a house. And I pop in. I would like to rendezvous with Star and get that change of clothes if I can.
Yeah. No, it's a house. There's clothing. It might not fit perfectly, but clothing options exist. But more importantly, as you enter the house, you find Star. Are you sitting? Are you pacing? How are you keeping an eye on this person?
I'm sitting a decent way away in like a chair, probably. I've got my gun on my lap.
Yeah, so you enter into a room and you see Star, and then this man just kind of confused and tied to a chair with jumper cables.
As I pop in, I look at the jumper cables and I look at the dude. How long ago?
How long ago what?
How long ago did he get infected or whatever the fuck?
How long ago was it?
You're not totally sure?
I don't know. You, Sanguine, you check him. Deputy Filigree. You need to go to the relief center.
Okay.
I was actually thinking that I thought I was going to head over to the relief center, but
no, we're burned.
I figured as much. Ended up burning my cover with the fire department earlier. The college was a little messy, but it's probably a better idea that they have a bit more of a familiar face doing what it needs to do.
Yeah. There's a locker. It's locker 17. Lock the padlock. You need to bring something to break it. You also need to bring like a duffel bag to carry what's inside. And then I'm going to give you some addresses. You need to go and burn those houses down.
Filigree, you getting this?
Yeah. I'm just thinking about all the checklist of items or crimes I'm committing today, I guess, but whatever.
Welcome to the program.
Yeah. Am I going solo to the relief center or this locker?
Yeah.
All right.
You did not interact with us.
Okay. I'll go do my thing. How do I get a hold of you guys when I'm done?
You don't.
Someone will get a hold of you.
Great. More cryptic shit. Cool. All right. Fine.
Look, man. We're being as 100% straight up with you as we can. It's best that we don't know as much as we can. The fact that I know your last name, the fact that I know your civilian identity, that's not super phenomenal. I will try to forget it. I will do my best. But we're giving you information as you need to know, ultimately for our safety, for your safety. You understand this, correct? You're a police officer.
Look, at this point, man, the sooner you two are out of my life, the better. None of this shit happened until you guys showed up, as far as I'm concerned. I'm just going to go do my part. Fuck all this cryptid shit, and I'll just do what needs to be done. So, see you when I see you, I guess. Sanguine and Star. And I just start walking out frustrated and just completely flabbergasted by this whole situation as it just keeps becoming more and more of a problem.
I yell after him. Hey, next time, make sure you get a warrant.
Filigree is completely just tapped out at this point and is just keeps walking. Am I going to be taking the vehicle to the relief center or am I leaving the vehicle for them, I guess?
I think you're taking your vehicle.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because we had two separate vehicles. Okay, yeah. Yeah. So I just jump in my car and I start heading to the relief center.
Yeah, you get there, kind of the lights are on, heat's about, people seem in decent spirits. There are some very confused looking National Guardsmen kind of roaming about. One approaches your vehicle as you pull up. Deputy, can't believe I'm saying this, but thank God you stopped by. We could really use your help right now.
Yeah, I'm trying not to look bothered, but obviously I am pretty much bothered here. And I go, yeah, what seems to be the problem?
We're missing someone. I'm not sure if they actually were, but we had some people from FEMA here with us, and one of them walked one of the civilians off and seems to have vanished. There were gunshots in one of the locker rooms or something. Some local law enforcement would be kind of nice to try and help control the situation some. If you can help us search, I guess, for the missing civvy. His name's William. That'd be super appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I'll try to help out, but I don't know anything about these FEMA guys either. They've been kind of just walking all over everybody here. So I don't know if you expect me to do anything about those guys, but.
Nah, just help us find this guy. His wife's real insistent we find him. It's weird. Like they just kind of fucking vanished. Like they were supposed to stop by a medical. Guy wasn't doing so great, I guess, or something. I don't know. But they just kind of seem to vanish, I guess. We're trying to find him. We're not hurt or anything.
I don't know, man. This whole thing has been something. I look over to the guy and I go, say that he was last in the locker room or something.
But I think he left. But if you want to go down there, maybe search for clues or something. I'm not going to try to do your job. But yeah, one of the visitor ones. Go through the gym. There's a bunch of signs. Now the lights are back up. Easy to find it.
All right. Well, I guess I'll start close to where they were last seen, I guess. So I'll be on my way. I'll do what I can.
And plus walkie-talkie kind of into it go. Yeah, one of the deputies is here, local law enforcement. They're gonna go take a look and see if they can find something. Just let them through.
I nod and I just start walking towards the locker room that was mentioned.
Nah, and people are pretty respectful letting you through. They have bigger things to deal with, like keeping the situation under control. You hear a lot of people complaining about what exactly was wrong that they had to be put outside for so long, and just happy the power is back. And yeah, you eventually make your way down to the locker room. And what'd you bring with you to put the body in?
I actually didn't bring anything with me to put the body in. I figured since it's a locker room, I might be able to find some sort of like sports bag or something in there I could maybe scrounge up, or a laundry bag or something. So I figured I'd start kind of just playing it off of that, because me walking in with a giant ass bag and no explanation would have probably raised some red flags for some reason.
That is a fair point. Yeah. So give me a search and see what you find.
Okay. 80 out of 60% failure.
It takes you a while, but you eventually find kind of a large duffel bag. It's not going to be perfect. If this thing's roughly about the size that you remember it being, it's got to be a little bit hard to kind of get the entire thing in there. And how do you bust open the locker?
So I'll just grab a fire extinguisher, whatever one is close by in the locker room that I can use it to bust open.
Yeah, the school complies with safety standards. So yeah, it takes a few swings, but this thing pops open. And as you open it, kind of the full grown body of this thing falls out. And it's going to be hard getting it into this bag. It's going to require some serious manipulation on your part.
Okay. Well, also, just to kind of confirm, I'm not rushing it because there are other people possibly in the locker room. Like, nobody's here.
No one's in there with you right now. No.
Okay, perfect. So then, yeah, I'm just going to try to quickly, like, fit this thing into the bag.
Yeah, give me a strength at minus 10.
All right. 98 out of a modified 55 minus 10 failure.
I mean, you eventually make it fit, but it's after cracking a few of its bones and squirting more of the strange orange fluid out of it kind of across the floor of the locker room. Like, it's gross. You get some of it on you. Like, it's a really uncomfortable 10, 15 minutes of forcing a body into a bag a little bit too small for it. Give me a sand check.
Oh, boy. Okay. 62 out of 56 failure.
All right, that's going to be 1 point of sand damage from violence.
Okay. All right. So I eventually get this body in the bag. Is it leaking? Like, is the leaking, or I guess I'm assuming since it's like gushing when I was like trying to crack it and get it in there, the bag that I have, is it thin enough, or at least transparent enough, that it would show signs of like this liquid leaking out?
I mean, it probably has some stains, but like, it's more the when you were trying to like push the body into it, you were getting like some of the liquid to spurt out of the gunshot wounds and stuff like that. Like, it's not like it's constantly leaking. No, there probably is to a certain extent, but like, it's not. A, probably most of the liquid is on the floor from where it got killed. B, it's been in a locker kind of draining slowly. C, what you were getting was more kind of reactive to you trying to force it and kind of break it and stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. So once I've get this body in the duffel bag, I want to try to, I guess, wash off whatever I can haphazardly.
Yeah.
Since it is a locker room, I'm assuming there's a shower.
Yeah. Also sinks.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever is available for me to kind of just wash off most of this.
Yeah. Takes a few minutes, but that works.
Okay. So at this point, now that I have this body, I have to take it back to the vehicle, don't I?
Yep.
Fuck. Okay.
And you now have a bag that reads Truman Memorial High School on it.
Shit. Okay. So since I have this body there, how public facing is the locker room once I exit it?
I mean, give me a search.
Okay. Because I'm trying to see, like, is this locker room attached to like a bigger building? Is it like 26 out of 60 success? Is it like its own separate building itself? So I could like try to pull up my vehicle next to the
I mean, now that you're looking around and have a kind of couple minutes to search around, you realize that at the far end of the hallway, kind of like opposite where you came in, towards what you're pretty sure is the wall, is a door that opens out into kind of a lower parking lot behind the school.
Okay. How much of a straight shot is it between the locker room and this door you speak of in the hallway?
Oh, very straight shot. It's a straight hallway to this door that gets you outside.
Okay. How many side doors, basically, or how many points of exposure along the way between the locker room and that door do I have along the way? Like, I guess connecting hallways, if you will.
None. There's a staircase or two that go up. There's a couple of storage closets, but yeah, it's mostly just kind of storage and locker rooms down here.
Okay. I strap up and pick up the bag, and I do this like one more kind of double check to make sure that I am good to basically bolt it over there as fast as I can. And I want to try to take this body from there to that door that leads to the lower parking.
All right. You're successful in doing that.
Oh, no one
is looking for you. It's slow going, though. It's heavy.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess once I get to the doors, am I able to place the bag somewhere nearby that isn't like super noticeable so that I can go grab...
Yeah, like behind a bush or something?
Yeah, so I can go grab my truck or my... Actually, I had a Jeep.
Easily doable.
Yeah. So at this point, I am going to go back to the locker room and kind of just do one more little like pretend search, and then I guess head back out towards the front and just see if I can make it from the locker room back to my Jeep without being stopped by anybody there.
All right, give me a stealth at plus 20.
All right. This is going to suck still because my stealth is awful. 86 out of a modified 14 plus 20 failure.
Yeah, as you're about 10 steps away from your car, you hear from behind you the National Guardsman from earlier. Already leaving, officer?
I turn around and go, yeah, I didn't really find too much, so I'm going to kind of see if I can get some more leads somewhere else around here. I've got something minor, but, you know, sometimes you just got a hunch and you got to follow it.
Give me a persuade at plus 20.
37 out of a modified 40 plus 20 success.
All right, so the guy shrugs. If you find him, let us know. Well, let his wife know. But yeah. No, yeah, maybe you got some like resources back at your station or whatever that you can use to do a manhunt or something. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, no problem. And thank you guys for the work you're doing, man. We, you know, we appreciate you guys. And I'll be out and about. And if you guys need anything, just hit up the station.
Guy nods at that.
And then I jump in my vehicle and head down to that lower lot where I have a body conveniently stashed in a duffel bag. I grab it and load it into the Jeep.
It's weird to say it's all easy enough to do, but given that you're not under any pressure, yeah, you have the time and the bandwidth to do that. Do you go immediately to the houses you were warned about, or?
So since I have a little time and I'm not under super crazy amounts of pressure, I actually want to try to stop by the station and grab some extra gear just in case, like, shit goes down. I want to be a little more strapped and prepped, if you will.
Yeah, easy enough to do. You kind of stroll in, so people are a little bit confused that you're there, but not too many questions get raised. Like, you called in earlier, you said you were working again, so.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, so I grabbed some, you know, extra gear, some perhaps, what was it? I already had a baton and all that, and I remember gave up my rifle, so I'd like to grab another one to load into the vehicle.
Okay.
And then I head to the first address.
All right. Agent Sanguine, Agent Star. You are alone in a dark, cold house. One of you is dressed in clothing you found / scrounged from the house's actual occupants. You have a man tied to a chair who kind of every so often chimes in that you should just let him go. This is ridiculous. What do you do?
You done checking him over?
Yeah. I have got a couple mixed things that I do want to mention. What's the prognosis? What did my medicine? I kind of roll the medicine and see what's going on.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a plus 20 because you're very familiar with these things.
It's all good, man. I got a 1% critical out of 64%.
Maybe it's the seeing one of these things get implanted in someone. Maybe it's your failed surgery earlier. Maybe it's just you're a little bit too in tune with these things. We'll never fully know. You kind of like look down this guy's throat, kind of like you feel around with it, and you are 100% convinced that he has one of these things in him.
So a couple things, just so that way you're updated. Unfortunately, Chad was not salvageable with that situation. I am not going to be tooting my own horn or whatever the heck, but I don't really have a good track record Unfortunately, you are absolutely correct. This man is a vector, and I could feel it just kind of existing around. It's still in his neck, so I guess that's a good thing. Because once it starts dropping down into his chest, that's when I think it's going to start getting a little too crazy and shit just starts gestating.
You want to try to get it out?
And I have that crisis of faith again in myself, where I just kind of flash back to the choice that I had with Chad, just because I did have the opportunity to try to get it out. And I'm just absolutely terrified to try to get it out. But I know that I should. I am going to roll willpower.
All right.
Just kind of continue with that and see how that goes. Success. I will attempt to perform some surgery. And that is a 20% success out of 40% of my willpower. Sanguine definitely has one of those moments where the fear kind of takes over him. It's that question just kind of echoes in his mind. It's one of those moments where it almost breaks him, but I think with this, he has the situation kind of in control. He has Star with him. It's not some rando who he just met. And it's not just after an entire situation where he thought he was going to die from someone else, but he has the metal now to attempt to perform the surgery.
All right. Do you need prep for the surgery or just kind of have Star hold this guy down and get cutting, for lack of a better phrase?
I think that I would try to prep, just because at this point in time, I'd want to make sure that I don't hurt myself, because trying to restrain somebody while trying to operate on them is not business.
Sure.
But I do think that I don't have as many medical supplies as I have at ready, just because we've kind of burned through a whole bunch. Do we have a first aid kit by chance?
Yeah, I'll say you still have that type of stuff around.
Cool beans. I don't think I have any clean syringes. I'm not about to try to create some sort of weird shared needle experience. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab a bottle of some tranquilizers. Not tranquilizers, but like sedatives, and just kind of pinch this man's nose closed and wait until he kind of opens his mouth. From there, I'm going to throw in a couple pills, cover his mouth, and just start massaging his neck until he swallows.
Sure. Yeah, and that takes some time, but yeah. The guy the entire time is protesting this, that like this is all fucking insane, but...
Look, man, I'm going to give you a heads up. You might die, and I need you to calm down. I gave you something to help calm you down, but you might die. So please work with us. I am a doctor. You might not believe it. I am dressed in your clothes, and whoever else lives in this house's clothes or whatever have you, but you're going to be okay. Anyway, let's bring him. Damn. Part of me wants to bring him outside just because the cold might help just kind of diminish stuff, but I don't want it to get away. It is at its larval stage. Would you be my assistant again? And by assistant, I guess, do you still have your chainsaw?
You do not.
All right. I'm going to wash up and just kind of get ready for everything. And using the iodine, probably that's just going to be in the med kit, I just kind of disinfect the area. I palpate his neck just to see whether or not it has moved from his neck into his chest. Is it still located in his neck?
Yeah. Not appear to have moved.
Awesome. And so from there, I look at Star. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Make sure that you constantly are changing out the gauze in his mouth. I don't want him to drown in his own spit. And we learned from last time, if shit starts getting crazy, we need to turn him over and make sure he doesn't choke while you try to get that thing out of his neck.
I'm going to be completely honest, Doc. You're going to have to do this one on your own. I'm going to stand by in case it leaps out at you. Last time I had to catch the fucking thing.
Oh, fuck it. All right, here we go. It's not the first time that I did something without that assistant. And I make the first incision and I start operating to remove.
All right, let's see a surgery at minus 10.
That is a 6% success on the surgery.
So you learn a lot in this moment about this thing. As you kind of like cut open William's neck, you expose this almost like conical shaped creature. The part you've seen so many times stand out of people's mouths is kind of up at the back of William's throat. It has four sharp kind of spikes and sizes. You're not quite sure, but it actually appears to almost be a tube of some kind. It's various vents that would allow fluid or medication, or in this case, the sedatives you put down its throat. And I do mean it passes through this creature to get to the rest of the body. It's also managed to kind of embed itself in the sides of William's throat, and it's kind of latching there. And as you kind of cut it free, it's fighting you the entire time. It kind of squirms and fights. And as you pull it free, you realize it's managed to puncture into the side of his neck in various places. And it's been transmitting its blood and his blood back and forth. Maybe it's feeding off, but maybe it's symbiotic. You can't quite tell, but you feel as though you understand this creature in a way you're not exactly comfortable with. And you're going to gain 1 point of unnatural as you kind of get up and personal and have a real scientific, doctorly moment with this thing. But also after some time kind of cutting away and slowly peeling it away, you manage to remove this thing, and it kind of lies there squirming, a tad exhausted, leaking a little bit of fluid as it's been removed. William is still breathing. I'm assuming you kind of stitch him back up.
Yep.
There's a decent chance he will have no memory of this. And more importantly, give me 1d4.
That is a 4.
You get to recover 4 points of sand damage. You're a doctor, after all. You're here to help.
I was able to save him. Finally. Took a little bit, but at the same time, that is what medicine is. We have evolved quite past bloodletting and the ideas of balancing humors. As I kind of wipe my brow after stitching him up, I kind of grab the specimen and I look at Star. Do you have a container?
Is it dead?
We should probably kill it.
Yeah.
I take whatever scalpel that I had and I slash the thing.
Give me a search now.
That is a 49% success on a 51% search.
The house has a garbage disposal, and as you're kind of finishing up your surgery, as you slash this thing, the power clicks on for the house.
Oh, man. Aren't we lucky? As I'm holding it, making sure it doesn't, like, squirm away or whatever the heck, I ask Start, do you mind following me to the kitchen? I need you to turn on the garbage disposal for me.
Okay, I do that.
With all the worrying and everything else like that, Sanguine just kind of, with both hands, just kind of shoves the thing into the garbage disposal.
As it hits the blades, you feel it squirm in protest one last time as the blades just pulp this thing as you shove it down.
Sanguine is just kind of like going through like this weird emotional release as he is just like leaning over, both palms just kind of covering the entrance of the garbage disposal, as he feels just kind of the gore slap back into his palms, giving him the tactile response that confirms that like this situation, this day and everything else in his mind is over and that he has conquered it.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, there is a phenomenal therapeutic retreat where they just have you release a lot of emotions and whatnot. It's kind of like Pilates and yoga, but a little bit spiritual, hokey dokey sort of stuff. And I am absolutely having my moment. Do not worry. I am not infected. I just have a personal vendetta against everything that happened to us today. Because I fucking want to go home and I never fucking want to work for this goddamn institution again.
Yeah, that's unfortunate though.
Just give me my 5 minutes, man.
Look, we got to get the fuck out of town.
Yes. Let's put this dude on the couch. throw a blanket over him. He's going to wake up thinking someone stole his vocal cords or whatever the fuck. Homie's neck is, he's going to have to do whatever the heck. Shit, I have antibiotics. I'm going to leave him some antibiotics and some painkillers. Yeah, I don't know, man. Hopefully he'll see some actual medical help or some shit like that. He'll realize that he has all his organs. Black Market doesn't have any of them, but let's get the fuck out of here. Done. I'm done, and I want to get the fuck out of this state.
I agree. Let's get the hell out of here.
All right, so what do? You have been a tad burned on the FEMA topic. You just kind of drive out of the city at this point. You do have a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to say easily done, but done enough. You take your time and whatnot, so you manage to make your way out. Deputy Filigree, you do the rounds, you burn some houses down to the ground, and eventually the National Guard leaves, the state of emergency is declared over, and the city of LaFontaine returns to some semblance of normal. There are a variety of stories about a crazy college party that got out of control, the result of a fire, and the tragic death of four college students. There are some weird stories about that, about some, like, two kind of like older people at the party and some violent behavior, and there's a whole bunch of stories about like some screams and stuff like that night, but drunk college students aren't to be believed. William has some vague weird memories and kind of some bad dreams for a long time, but eventually those pass and he forgets all of this. But that also means it is time for home scenes. Since you successfully contained the situation, you all get back 1 point of sand damage. More importantly, because you managed to kill a few of these things, you all get to recover 1d6 points of sand damage.
Hey, that is a 1 on my end. God fucking damn it.
That's a 4 on my end.
5, baby.
Deputy Eli Filigree is doing great.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that leads us to our home scenes. Agent Star, Agent Sanguine, what do? As you may remember, your options are fulfill responsibilities, back to nature, establish a new bond, go to therapy, improve a skill or stat, indulge in a personal motivation, special training, or stay on the case. You can also study the unnatural. While you two are thinking about that, what's up with your bonds at this point?
The bond with my brother is gone.
How are your other bonds doing?
Unaffected. I have one other bond. Actually, it technically went down because my sanity or my charisma went down.
Mm. What's your other bond?
It's my sister.
All right, so let's play this out. Like, historically, what would you and your brother and your sister do? Like, you're home from the op, you've got some time, like, were they there when you kind of had to duck out and go do this, or were they somewhere else?
Yeah, we were on vacation. That's why I was where I was.
So after the op, do you go back to vacation with them, or?
I don't think he does. I think he just goes home.
Sure. Just ditches them all together?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're home for a couple days, and your brother Samuel kind of comes by your house at one point. He's, man, what the fuck?
What do you mean, what the fuck?
You disappear, you say you're going to be back in like a day or two, and you just come home. You haven't called either of us since. Heather's been worried about you. I'm just pissed. Do you get how much those tickets cost?
Yeah, I paid for mine. I bought it. I know how much it fucking costs.
Yeah, man. But this was supposed to be a family thing and shit. You come back, you've been moody ever since whatever the hell you had to go do, you did. You haven't called, you haven't, like, what the fuck?
What the fuck do you want from me, Sam? I gotta work sometimes. I'm on call all the time.
You're a security guard for NASA.
I don't decide when I work, Sam.
Oh, was there some type of fucking space emergency?
I can't talk to you about that.
Uh-huh. What, did an astronaut get a DUI on base or something and you had to go deal with it?
I think you need to fucking leave, Sam.
Yeah, and he storms off at that point.
Whatever he was doing, he goes back to doing.
Yeah. Agent Sanguine, what's up with your bonds?
My bonds are doing pretty a-okay, actually. I had a little moment where my wife was like, I was pissed at her just because she got into that situation. But I've been fine, ultimately, just because, you know what? I got out of it alive, and I got out of it learning something.
Nothing broken, though? Just some strained relationships?
Nothing broken. My charisma's pretty high at 13, so even though my wife took a hit, she's just chilling at 11, only like 2 points off.
You are now adapted to violence, which means you have to decrease those bonds by 1d6, because you are not so talkative a person anymore. Got that dead-eyed, thousand-yard stare.
Sanguine has gone through some shit, man.
Yeah.
He was just a plastic surgeon from San Diego. And now, good lord, I rolled a 2, so that drops it down by 2. Charisma to 11. So everything's at 11 now.
So what do you do now that you are home with your free time?
I haven't touched my medical journals in such a long time. I haven't really fucked around with studying and improving my work just because it was one of those weird things where it's just like, all right, I did this to help people, but now I'm in it for money. And I was able to do something that I kind of wanted to do in the first place. I am writing this down and I am submitting a report to Delta Green regarding any kind of further interaction with us. Hopefully that is the last time that we'll ever meet something like this again. But in any case that there is a situation, I am at least the only person that I know of who has successfully dealt with it.
So would you say this is more staying on the case or improving a skill or a stat?
That's where I didn't know what was going on, or I didn't know how exactly to categorize that, because like, part of me was like, is this studying the unnatural just because I'm just recollecting and just kind of creating something?
It could also be that. That's a fair argument, yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of where I would like some GM guidance with that.
I mean, like, I guess what's the intent of what you're doing?
I am, despite the fact that I literally had just said that I never want to work for the institution again, I am assisting the institution in creating a dossier regarding the creature that we encountered.
Yeah.
I still have the medical notes, which I know is very dangerous, but I am going to be transferring the collect materials, especially when it comes to the drawings. I'm going to, from memory, do my best detailing or describing kind of what the thing in the neck, the conical tube, was like in the neck. And then I'm going to describe, I'm just going to give a case brief on how that surgery went, especially just because when I forced the pills down the patient's neck, the creature was the one who ended up swallowing it because it passed through its system than others. I'm going to add my hypotheses, how the exobiology works, pack it all into a manila envelope, seal the shit out of that, and then just text my handler that I'm doing a dead drop about information on a vector and a successful de-escalation of the vector, de-vectorizing.
No, I get what you're going for. Yeah, I'd classify this as study the unnatural. You're kind of doing a formal study. This is meant to help inform future agents and whatnot. So let's see a 1d4.
As well as the fact that, like, that just means that that person needs to be, William is still going to be surveilled by Delta Green to make sure shit does not go south.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a 1.
All right. So your unnatural is going to go up by 1. But more importantly, what bond are you neglecting to do all this? This takes time. This takes effort.
Oh, the wife. I mean, like, she's there. And it's one of those things where it's like, she's asking how the conference went.
Yeah, so let's play this out. You've been home for a couple days. You've been frantically working all your off time on this thing. And your wife, Colette, kind of, like, do you have an office? Where are you doing this work? Like, at your job or at home?
I have a home office.
Sure. Yeah, so you're in there and kind of your wife stops by and knocks on the door one day.
I don't answer it. I'm still kind of writing down and doing some other things with it.
And she kind of slides the door open. What is your relationship with your wife like? I know we've kind of gotten some details about you kind of wound up in plastic surgery. because of her? Like, explain this relationship a little bit more.
It is a pretty successful relationship. I mean, she's definitely assisting in the practice and whatnot, in the sense of she's a really phenomenal party planner. This is kind of how she goes. She lets herself be a working woman, but at the same time have a free reign of just kind of enjoying the luxury life that both of our professions can afford. We do live in a pretty upscale neighborhood in San Diego, so there's a lot to do, especially just because that is a destination city. It's a little bit on a slower scale than like Los Angeles or whatever the hell have you, but there's some phenomenal country clubs, there's some phenomenal beaches or resorts or whatever the fuck have you that she kind of imbibes with, as well as the fact that like her connections mean that I also kind of create a clientele through her circles, as they're now they now have an in, or at least like a connection to plastic surgeon.
You describe this marriage as successful. Would that be more from kind of a status and business standpoint? Like, I guess, is that kind of more the relationship itself? Like, what is Agent Sanguine, aka Dr. Mueller's, measure of his relationship?
It's successful in the sense that it's what's supposed to happen.
Sure.
I think it just kind of checks all the marks of just like, this is what success looks like. It is probably not successful in emotional contact or anything else like that. They definitely still have secrets that they kind of keep from each other. And it's one of those things where it's like, if it is something that will ruin the financial stability or the social stability of this dynamic, it is typically swept under the rug.
No, it makes a lot of sense. So the fact that she is approaching you over this is probably a tad strange, and stands in the doorway. What exactly happened at that conference that's got you so up in arms?
Did you knock? What are you doing in my office?
She rolls her eyes at this. Yes, I knocked. Yes, I knocked last night. I told you I was going to bed and you came to bed around, oh, what was it? 1, 2 a.m. after, what are you even working on? Is this, no offense, honey, but you're not exactly a research doctor these days.
Yeah, I understand that. I am just trying to get relevant in the medical field again, I guess, or at least just do something. I'm sorry. Do you care that I'm making sure that I'm keeping up with new and developing medical practices, or do you care that I am not in bed with you? Like, can I at least just better myself as an individual?
Kind of just shrugs. I don't know. You've been acting differently since you got back. I'm not sure what the right word for it is. Reserved, I guess.
It's focused is what it is. Look, I had to call it just a fluke or whatever, but that conference went better than I expected. It was absolute shit, and I felt like I was being left in the dust. But you know what? Something clicked. I need to follow it. I need something to kind of just get me going. This is one of the last few things that has got me riled up. Let me chase this fucking tail. Yeah?
Well, she shrugs at this. Fine. If this means that much to you, I just expect you to make an appearance tomorrow night when we have dinner with the Grossmans.
Don't worry. I will be there. I imagine that you picked up something new to wear, at least something kind of nice.
She nods. Yes, but you'll have to show up to find out. And then she kind of leaves, happy with kind of the way this has gone down in her mind.
I sigh and I get up. I'll set an alarm. I'll be in bed by 10. Does that make you feel any better?
The guy yells from down the hall at you. Whatever makes the doctor happy, I suppose. Jump into Agent Star. Agent Star, what do you do now that you're off the mission? You've had a falling out with your brother. Words were said. Things seem to kind of spiral out of hand oddly quickly on that one, though, too.
Yeah. Star
is finding it hard to focus. So he's going to try to refocus himself, and he's going to do that by trying to increase his POW score.
All right.
Try to get back to being able to get a, you know, a control over his thoughts.
All right.
So I just roll POW for that, right?
Yep. You want to fail.
Well, unfortunately, I rolled a 10% out of a 30% success, so I failed to increase my POW.
Doesn't quite work out the way you want it to.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Star goes to the shooting range, he goes for walks and whatnot, and he's trying to, like, get control over his thoughts again because his mind keeps wandering around, sort of back to the situation, Snail and everything. And as much as he wants it to stop, it just keeps happening. And after a few weeks, he just gives up on trying.
Yeah, so your bond with your sister is going to take 1 point of damage from this and kind of stops by your place at one point. She's like, you're not going to try and fix stuff with Samuel?
If Samuel wants to fix stuff, it's on him, okay?
Jesus fuck, you've always been, I don't know, whatever you've been, I guess, but like, you've been extra you lately.
This is what you've come here to do, just fucking berate me. I don't need that right now.
We're worried about you. We go on a family vacation and you just disappear. And rather than coming back, we find out you come back home and just don't talk to anyone. And when your brother, your only brother, comes by to talk to you, you get in a fight about it and he's not talking to you and you're not talking to him, I assume. And we get it. What you do is important or whatnot, but like, ever heard of a work-life balance before?
I can't deal with this right now. All right. You guys want an explanation? I watched one of my friends die. Okay. It is what it is. I need time.
Kind of blinks. What?
I work in a dangerous field.
Kind of processing the sum in her head. Did something happen?
I don't want to talk about this. Okay. You can tell Samuel if he wants to make up for it, he can come by and buy me fucking dinner or something. But right now, I want some time.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I guess call when you want to.
Yeah. Star just goes back to like looking at his computer. He was probably on his computer when she came by.
Makes sense. Last but certainly not least, Deputy Filigree. What has life post the incident been like for you?
It has been actually quite depressing. Am I allowed to kind of take the character where I want to go?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so first and foremost, after all the shit that went down in the town, I moved. I just chose to go somewhere else.
Sure.
I don't know, another town nearby or something, not too far away, but yeah, just not in the town. On top of that, since I have no bonds, I really don't have anyone to kind of talk to, if you will. So all of this has pretty much just kind of put me in a state of paranoia. Maybe he started drinking a little bit, considering all the stuff that went down. There's a thought itching in the back of his mind that sooner or later, whatever these FEMA guys were, they're going to come back. I'm a loose end. And so I'm just kind of in this state of, or I'm living on borrowed time.
So if you describe Deputy Filigree's routine, what's the third place he's at the most? Obviously, he goes to work, he goes home. Those are the kind of the first two. What's the third place he spends the most time?
I'm just going to go with a bar. Like, nice and simple, easy. Alcoholism is an easy escape.
Yeah, so one night you're drinking. It's a regular Tuesday for you kind of thing. And a woman, late 30s, very early 40s, looks tired, kind of approaches you at the bar and kind of like starts chatting with you. Buy a girl a drink?
Yeah, sure.
She gestures towards the table. Come join me over there. We can chat. You look like you could use someone to talk to.
I look over and I'm like, there's a certain sense of paranoia because I don't talk to anyone. Filigree is not particularly charming as a person, so I guess red flag kind of going off, and I go, sure. And I just kind of walk over and I'll join them at their table, I guess.
Yeah, so she kind of sits down and folds her hands in front of you. If we wanted you dead, Eli, you'd be dead already.
My eyes widen during this, and I go, well, why haven't you guys done it?
We respect talent, and while we typically try and draft from higher up the food chain in law enforcement, you handled yourself well. Sanguine and Star spoke relatively highly of you during their debriefing. You did well, didn't ask a lot of questions. Most importantly, you got the job done.
So after hearing this, I take a drink, a swig of my drink, and I go, and now it's time to tie up loose ends, right?
She shrugs at this. We're not in the business of ruining people's lives more than they've already ruined themselves. The way we see it, a couple more months of this, and you'll do something stupid involving alcohol in a car. Fixes itself as far as we're concerned. You haven't talked by now, which means you're probably not going to talk, which is something we look for in our line of work. So we've got three options. You can keep drinking yourself to death, waging a one-man war against your liver, which I respect in its own, I suppose, useless, futile kind of way. You wouldn't be the first, you wouldn't be the last to deal with an incident like this that way. Or we have two other options for you that let you try and spin this especially shitty situation into a better trajectory for the rest of your life.
Well, I already know what the first option looks like. What are the other two?
I'm not sure if Agent Sanguine and Agent Star mentioned it, but there is a item of interest in the town you used to live in. Not so much item as a repository of items. We had an emergency team go in and kind of secure and move a certain set of items into a new location, and we need someone that if something were to happen, something would happen in La Fontaine during the storm, can go and, well, let us know what's going on. Think of yourself as a fancy janitor of sorts. It doesn't pay anything. You're at our beck and call on this one. But you get to keep on living your boring ass life.
Take another sip of my drink and I go, this literally just sounds like option one.
She shrugs. Some people find some happiness in that. They feel as though they're contributing to the larger goal of things. They're doing something useful with their trauma. I'm not one to judge. Our third option, and based on kind of gestures up and down, how well you're handling all of this, I suspect you may turn this one down, is, as I said, we are always looking for talent. You handled yourself well. You didn't crack. You didn't spiral out, despite kind of what you have going on here. We could use someone with your background and training. Nothing big, but occasionally small events do pop off that require attention.
Oh. Done this far down the rabbit hole. That's a couple extra feet. Sure.
She smiles, pulls a card out from her pocket, and slides it across the table from you. It's a very bare, nondescript card. Simply reads Miss Pine and has a cell phone number. If you ever feel like getting back to work, and I do mean work, give this number a call. We'll be more than happy to give your life some purpose. If not, live whatever life you have left well. But remember, there's more than just what you dealt with out there. At that, she gets up and leaves the bar.
Take another sip of my drink, and I look at the card and just kind of stare at it for a bit. Then I put it back down on the table, finish my drink, and put the card in my pocket and walk out of the bar.
On behalf of all of us at Negative Modifier, thank you for listening, and we do hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to support the show, please consider rating or reviewing us on your platform of choice or supporting the show over on our Patreon. In addition to that, if you would like to chat about episodes or with the cast in general, please consider joining our Discord server. Links to all of this and more can be found below in the show notes.
Welcome Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.